Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America. We can't let him tear the kingdom down. This is no game. This is war. Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war. The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul. Satan's armies come to kill. This
is war. Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 30 October 2024. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. And as I said, the last couple of nights, tonight's program is going to have some adult content in it. There'll not be any vulgar language, nothing like that. But we're going to cover a topic that needs to be covered. It's probably one of the most unpleasant things you can talk about. It's equal to tearing a baby apart in the womb and calling it abortion. Before we go there, tomorrow being Thursday, of course, I'll be in office tomorrow, and Crystal will not be here tomorrow. She got stuck in traffic coming back from Mississippi. She's in Kentucky and couldn't get all the way in, so I'll be here tomorrow. I won't be going out tomorrow at all. I'll be here all day, so from 9 to 4 tomorrow, I'll be here to answer the phones. If I can find somebody to help me answer, we'll do that too. But if not, I'll try to handle it by myself. So if I get too covered up, I'm actually covered by a call back. Please don't get upset. I'll do the best I can. I promise. But you can call tomorrow. I'd love to hear from you at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Tomorrow will be the last day we're going to mention the books by Kathy O'Brien that everyone should have. And the one that relates to what we're going to talk about tonight is Trance. T-R-A-N-C-E, Formation of America. It's a book that, again, adult content, but needs to be told. It's a book of $25 shipping, $30. And then the video goes along with that. You might want to get a copy of too. It's $20. But folks, these books are vitally important. If you want to see the truth, what's going on behind closed doors. Some of it, well, actually quite a bit of it is starting to leak out now. It is. I mean, it's really starting to leak out. Some of the bigger, players this game, and at least in the entertainment industry, starting to leak out. And I'm convinced that one day, if God allows, we'll see that happen to a lot of the politicians and a lot of other corrupt people that's involved in this. So I'll be here in office tomorrow to take orders for those. And we're also going to offer another special starting first next month, a couple of books we have here I want to share with you that you might want for the holidays. One of them is titled is Christmas Christian. The other one is cremation Christian? Now, those are important. Those are two questions that are vitally important. We'll share those with you later next week. But like I said, I'll be in office tomorrow. Now, if you want to order a catalog tomorrow, no charge, you call tomorrow and say, I want a catalog. You got it. If you want to receive November's magazine online, you call tomorrow and give me your email address or email me with it at pastorbutch@startmail.com. pastorbutch@startmail.com. We'll see you get it. It's very powerful, folks. It's huge. It's absolutely it's a magazine. It's not just a newsletter. It's a magazine. This one is mostly church news and information and teachings. It's about 60 pages long. It's supposed to go out here tomorrow if at all possible. If not, we'll get out here next week. I'm sorry. It is what it is, folks. You know, I mean, one individual in this office is going to do so much. And Crystal's my right-hand man, so to speak. So We'll do the best we can. And don't forget, we're going to have Bible study this weekend. Going to have church this weekend. As always, you can listen to us. If you go to PastorButch.com, you can click on the Rumble at 10:30 a.m. Saturday morning, Eastern time, and we'll be there. The first half hour is always dedicated to prayer requests and praise reports and anything you might want to share. Then we take a little break at 11:30, 12:30. We do Christian Worldview News, which is prophecy in the news. You won't hear that in most churches. And then from 1 to 2, I'm going to do a teaching. I think maybe open some people's eyes to what's happening in our country. And it's called political idolatry. Political idolatry. I think you might want to hear that. Join us, like I said, by going to PastorBush.com and clicking on Rumble or calling 339-209-5013. You can join us in Bible studies and the Christian Worldview News, and I hope you'll do that. You know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, Christ talking to the people, and he said, it's better if a man that would hurt or harm a child, it'd be better for them if a millstone was cast around their neck and they were cast into the sea. Well, I got to say this right now. Many, many, many people, millions of them are going to pay with that judgment what they've done to unborn babies, newborn babies, and youth, and up until a lot of them are killed and get too old, they just take them out in a snuff movie. But tonight we're going to talk about an issue that should concern us all, but in a way of warning to those out there that are involved in one of these child abuse situations. I'll say this very clearly. Payday is coming. And unless you repent of that, God help you, because you're going to spend a long time in a very hot place. I don't apologize for that. And truly, I don't feel sorry for you. I like to see your soul saved. That's why I'm telling you that. But you're going to reap what you sow one day. I suggest you repent of that right away. But our guest tonight, his name is Jennifer Guskin. And she has come out in public, literally in public on the internet. You can find it on the internet. Look it up. Jennifer Guskin, G-U-S-K-I-N. Watch her testimonies. And folks, I'll tell you, it's adult content. But she's opening herself up and pouring herself out in public. And she's doing it. And I know she knows in her heart she's risking her life. Because what she's sharing could really damage a lot of people, and it should. And I really admire her for her courage and her heart to do that and trying to warn people and trying to help other people, especially young children who maybe be involved in this and can't help themselves. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
It is good to have you. And again, please just relax and make yourself at home tonight. I'm just an old hillbilly from West Virginia, not too far from where you are, actually. And I'm just honored to have you tonight and honored to meet somebody that has the courage you have to come out and share this. Back in 95, 96, I've been on the radio since 93, had Kathy O'Brien on, first one I ever had on interview about this topic. And people got so angry that they threatened to burn down the radio station and burn down my home. I'm serious about this now. Because no one wanted to believe this was actually happening in our country. Now, this has been 30 years ago. And obviously it was going on, and it's gotten a lot worse, I'd say, over the last three decades. But, Jennifer, before we get into the whole story, give us a quick review about, if you don't mind, who you are, and just a little bit about your life before all this started happening to you.
Sure. Well, I was adopted as an infant by a couple in New York who subsequently sold me to various individuals and entities throughout my childhood. I've been to...
May I ask you a question? I don't mean to interrupt you here, but...
Yes,
so how were you when this started?
I believe I was adopted with the intention of being sold. So as early as I remember.
You were bought into the world for that purpose, you think?
There is, from my understanding, the person who arranged my adoption, who was a close family friend, he is a pediatrician, and his wife worked for behavioral and mental health at the New York Department of Social Services. So I was obtained through the CPS foster adoption pipeline. And I believe I was adopted specifically with the intent and purpose of being sold.
And you were how old then?
I was an infant. I was a baby. From what I understand, I was, you know.
Wow. And we're going to cover, folks, CPS a little more in a little bit. CPS is one of the most wicked organizations in the country. They have power over judges and everybody else. They're afraid to tackle them. That's the truth. I know this for a fact. So this is a very powerful entity that we're going to discuss more in detail, and a wicked entity nonetheless. So you were, I'm so sorry, but you were a child, or you were a baby. You were adopted for the purpose of being sold and used like a piece of meat. Oh, my honey, I'm sorry. But, okay, I know you don't mind talking about this. I've seen you do it. But I just want you to share from your heart tonight. When do you, how far back can you remember this starting? When can you remember first realizing what was going on?
That's difficult to answer because of the severity of abuse. A lot of my memories are very fragmented. Most of what I remember at this point is from sixth grade and earlier, so before my teenage years. That's still very fragmented, but a lot of my teenage years are completely blank. So it started as young as I can remember, but there was a point in my childhood where my family and I, we were watching an episode of Law and Order. And I saw an episode where essentially I turned to my parents and I said, why is that person getting into trouble for what so-and-so did to me the other night? And my parents gave some sort of answer of like, you know, people don't really understand what we do and it's a secret between us and we don't really talk about it with anybody. And, you know, it's okay. Nobody needs to know, like some kind of derivative of that. And it was at that point that like I started to piece together that, you know, what was going on may not have been, you know, completely on the up and up. But I ended up forgetting that for quite a while throughout my teenage years.
I interrupt a lot, but this question, I mean, these questions in my mind, and I know people are thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. Your adopted parents actually tried to make you believe what they were doing was normal. Really wasn't anything wrong with it. And, of course, being young as you were, you didn't understand that it wasn't at the time. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yes, without getting graphic, pretty much what I was taught and what I was told is that when these guests came over the house that I was supposed to, quote-unquote, show them how much I love them. And to me, that was just how you show somebody you care about them. That was how you show somebody you love them. So in my mind, it wasn't abuse. In my mind, it was love. And unfortunately, that's how they get quite a few of us.
Oh, my. So they actually, that is so wicked. So you were taught that the way you show affection to other people was by being with them in that manner. That's how you grew up and understood how you show affection.
That was my understanding at a very young age, yes.
Well, now I know this is getting detailed, and if you feel comfortable, don't feel comfortable answering questions, you say so. How often did this happen to you, let's say, before you were age 5 or 6?
That's hard to answer because I have memories of guests coming over to the house and you know, they'd be over for dinner, and then after dinner sometimes he would go into the living room, into the TV room, and I would be expected to, you know, show them how much I love them in there. There was a time period where I was I was very good friends with another young boy who was about my age. And I remember some of the abuse being facilitated through his home. From what I understand, the doctor who lived next to him was actually the person who, quote unquote, delivered me. So it ends up being this very systemic and incestuous you know, type of situation, that it stays, you know, within the family, quote unquote, and it becomes this, you know, insider circle where it's, quote unquote, okay.
You know, this sounds not like a movie that was on years ago called Rosemary's Baby. I mean, this is a satanic, obviously a satanic practice that they're doing with all this. So when did you really start thinking that maybe this wasn't on the up and up?
The incident with the Law and Order episode was when I started having questions. Was that point that I started having questions about whether it was okay or not. But then when I hit my teenage years, I was taken out of the public school system and hospitalized and then placed into a alternative schooling system. And they did a very, very good job at fragmenting my memories. And that's a whole mess. That's a whole blur right there. It wasn't until my mid-20s that I started to remember things, and I initially thought that they were daydreams, I just kind of dismissed them. You know, I thought I was going crazy. And then the DNC WikiLeaks in 2016 came out and made me realize that the daydreams were actually flashbacks, and I had to decide with myself whether I was going to stay silent or whether I was going to come forward and go public about what I was remembering.
And how old were you then, basically? How close were you? What age were you? A teenager? How old were you then?
When I started getting my memories back?
Yeah, when you started to figure this out and going public with it.
I started remembering in my early to mid-20s. And then I went public on October 23rd, 2017. I believe at the time I was 30.
Mm-mm-mm. And, oh, gosh, honey, I don't even know where to go with all this, because this is, I've discussed with other people before, but this is always uncomfortable for me. I know it has to be for you also. So when you started understanding this, did it come to an end then, or did it continue? Did they try to continue to own you, so to speak? How did it work out?
Well, after I went public, I was pregnant with my daughter, and I gave birth to my daughter about 2 months later on December 29th, 2017, and I was told that it was the law for all new mothers to take a drug test, so I submitted a drug test, and even though all tests came back negative, Child Protective Services opened a substance-exposed newborn case, and they told me that if I don't stop speaking, I would never see my daughter again.
Uh-huh. So they threatened you with your daughter?
Yes. They essentially took her hostage, and then I started to put together, I learned about medical kidnap, and I started to put together that if I was adopted as an infant and trafficked to Epstein's Elk, how many other children who have been through the CPS foster and adoption pipeline have also been, you know, have also met a similar fate. And I started getting very loud, asking this, demanding answers to this, and CPS essentially extorted my husband into filing a police report, and I ended up spending almost a year and a half political prisoner with no trial, and then all charges were dropped.
What did they charge you with?
If I recall correctly, it was assault allegations. They were domestic. It was essentially domestic violence allegations. They convinced my husband into writing something up, and that's where it went.
My goodness, your own husband turned on you. Okay, so
they were telling him. They said, you know, you either do this or you'll never get your daughter back.
Okay, all right. So they were holding the daughter over him also.
Yes.
My. What wickedness. So, and I know this getting in some details here, but when you were going through all this, we won't go through all the experiences. I mean, folks, you want to listen to this online, you do so. I'm not going to go through all the experiences you went through. She'll share more, and I'm sure she has shared a fraction of them online. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how depraved were these, a lot of these meetings?
When I was a child or during the CPS debacle?
Well, as a child, we'll start with.
It really depended on the situation. There's a phrase that I use. There's the people who do the deed with a smile on their face because they're enjoying it or they know their fortunes would be improved. And there are those who did it with a tear in their eye because they didn't want to be part of the corruption and didn't want to hurt the child. And it really depended on the scenario and where we were going. The people I was predominantly around, especially the person, the people I was predominantly around were, seemed to very much be the people who enjoyed it. There were plenty that I saw that were dragged in and who didn't want to and who wanted nothing to do with it. A lot of the people that I was around, not all of them, of course, but a good chunk of them were the genuinely corrupt ones.
And later on, maybe if you feel comfortable getting some names that you have heard your name already. But now, whenever you were, they come and took your daughter and accused you of lies and held her over your head, so to speak. They had you in the mental hospital before that, basically, and they what did they do to you there? What means did they use to work on you?
Primarily medications. They did a lot of drugging me. At one point I was on about 15 pills a day. I believe I was on at least 750 milligrams of Depakote before the age of 18. I've been on Ritalin, Topamax, Respital, Zyprexa, Zoloft, so much that they used to try and essentially drug me into silence. I started acting out because of the abuse from a very young age. And the psychiatrist, actually, who was initially overseeing my care, was actively a part of it to the point where I was, during some of our therapy sessions, I would go into the room and there would be another man usually in the room. And I remember hearing negotiations where the doctor, his name was Dr. Haber, the doctor would, haggle for tell them the price. And sometimes they would, try to haggle or not. And I remember there was one point where I was typically $5,000. And then I remember when my price went down to $3,000. And I remember doing everything I could to try and make my value go up again. And it wasn't until much, much later as an adult that I found out that the reason why my quote-unquote value went down was because I was older and I was aging and I was less of a young child.
What age do they consider desirable, most desirable?
It really depends on the person and the person's own desires, but from what I understand, I don't remember the exact numbers and the exact age ranges, but the sick ones, the truly disgusting and sick ones, preferred the young children. And many of them, I don't know if it's a situation where they're actually pedophiles, where they're genuinely attracted to children, or whether they are demented and disgusting people who just get off on hurting innocent people. I'm not exactly sure, I'm not sure where the line is for some of them. But there were also a lot of people there where I had seen blackmail situations where people had literally been dragged into a basement and were, I've seen situations where family members were lined up along the wall and there would be a camera in the corner and the primary target would be told that if you don't violate a child that's bent over in front of them, that the target and their family would be killed. And I've seen grown men cry in those types of situations. I've also seen, you know, situations where they've refused to do it. And I didn't see the actual murder, but I heard the gunshot. I heard the partner. I believe she was his fiance at the time. I heard her scream. I heard them drag her off, and I heard people laughing as they dragged her off. And then I don't remember if it was probably a few days, maybe a week or so later, they quote unquote found the guy in I believe it was one of the rivers, Hudson River or something like that, and they did some kind of whole big, you know, showy ceremony thing, and his fiance slash wife was there, and somebody, you know, touched her arm or something, and she like jumped out of her skin. I remember seeing that. So, I mean, there were definitely both ends of the spectrum. There were people who were genuinely cruel and sadistic, but there were also people there who were good and sincere and really, you know, didn't and don't want to be there. And, you know, and I'm sure there are some that do the deed in the mindset of, you know, I don't want to do this, but the only way I'm going to be able to expose this kind of stuff is if I get deeper in these groups and work as, you know, an insider. And I'm sure that there are plenty of those as well. And so it really, I think, depends on each individual's motives in regards to, you know, whether I would say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, that's very hard to tell.
Well, now, when you were in the hospital, Were all the staffers involved in this, basically, that covered this up, or were there some there that really tried to help? And what was the protocol in there?
Oh, gosh. When I was a child, that was the first hospitalization. The first hospitalization, there was one staffer there who I thought was helpful. The rest just kind of at least seemed very robotic, seemed like they were going through the motions. What is strange about that first hospitalization was normally when you're hospitalized, they don't let you leave the hospital until you're done with your treatment. But my father was adamant on me being let out for a certain amount of time to go to some sort of trip somewhere. I don't know where it was. I don't know why it was, but... No, in regards to the hospital, it's very difficult to tell because usually, from what I understand, what they'll do in the hospital is they'll drug you before you go to sleep, and then they'll take you out of your bed at night to do things to you. I don't know if that happened to me. I don't have any explicit memories of that happening to me, but those are usually under circumstances where it is far more controlled with far more dedicated
Hang on through the break, please, sir. Hang on through the break, folks. Back at the break. We'll try to get phone calls in the next half hour. If you have any questions and comments, we'll take them at 844-769-2944. Folks, this is actually happening to children around this country and around the world. My. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, Whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All righty, folks, we are back, and that theme song says it best. This is not a game we're playing. This is for real life. It isn't pleasant at all. There's no way to cover this in a gentle way, so to speak, because the truth is going to cut. I wish there were other ways to go through this and ask questions, and without getting right to the point, you can't do that. There's no point in playing their game and trying to be nice. We got to expose this the way it is, what's going on and why it's going on. So, again, you were in the hospital and not many people, the only one you know of, was actually there trying to help you. Well, did the employees there know what was going on behind closed doors?
I think so. I think they all know what's going on. I think it's a well-established system, and I'm not sure how they choose their targets, but it definitely seems like it's a very well-organized thing.
Wow. So, I mean, we're talking about a whole staff of people here. So you think probably that they were all, at least they knew of it. They may not have been in on it, but they knew of it.
What I personally think is I think that a lot of these college, not all, of course, but a lot of these college places end up being recruitment areas for people to bring them into the system. I think that when they, and I've seen it happen, you know, for people who are trying to move up in politics and stuff like that, what I think happens is, you know, when a lot of these people go to these college, you know, parties and stuff like that, and they end up drinking and whatever, and they end up getting, you know, unfortunately, into compromising positions and compromising situations. And then, you know, they end up having hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And it becomes this perfect storm for people to do these things that are corrupt. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, that's what it becomes. I think that the vast majority don't want to do it, but people just get themselves so robotic into doing it. Like, they just disassociate from it and just keep going and doing it, you know, unfortunately.
Well, now, in your opinion, we can go back to CPS, but in your opinion, how high can somebody go in entertainment or politics without being involved in something today?
In my opinion, that is, if we know their name, if we, you know, whether you know, we think they're a good person or a bad person, if we know their name, I believe they've been compromised in some form. Whether they did the deed with a smile on their face or a tear in their eye, that remains to be seen. But I think that, you know, the survivors, the children, and the people who had a tear in their eye are coming up into a point where we can come together and we can name those people who forced us, because the people are aware, they are listening, they are hearing the stories of the blackmail, and they are calling for the other people who were blackmailed to come forward and to start speaking up. And I believe that that is a huge aspect in how we can move forward and how we can finally get some real transparency and accountability.
Well, with the Combs situation and what's happened there, and we know lots of people coming forward and accusing him now, but do you see more of this happening with more entertainment celebrities and maybe political icons also?
I believe so. I hope so. I mean, it certainly seems like we're on that trajectory. You know, I'm going to say when the election comes to an end, and, you know, hopefully certain candidates that are more vocal against child trafficking, you know, get into office, that, you know, hopefully that we'll see a uptick in, you know, not just arrests, but in people coming forward and saying something.
Okay. Now, we got folks' lines open, 844-769-2944. Let's get in. We got a lot more to talk about. I got to have you on again sometime if you don't mind getting some more questions about the other issues. But let's get into CPS. How involved is CPS in child trafficking in this country today?
From what I understand, they are an integral part. The over 50% of the children who have gone through the CPS foster and adoption pipeline are sexually trafficked in some form.
Repeat again. How much?
Over 50%, and I believe I'm significantly lowballing that number. Over 50% of the children who have been through the CPS foster and adoption pipeline have been sexually trafficked in some form.
Now, you said 50%?
Yes. Over.
Wow. My goodness. So five out of every 10, one out of every two are child trafficked in some form. Folks, this is what we're seeing today, and we're paying out billions of dollars, this organization, to harass families as it did Jens and others. So has anything been done about that? Is anybody exposing this? Are you sharing names with that also too?
I've been very vocal about the social workers and the other individuals who have been involved in my daughter's removal. I currently have a lawsuit where I'm trying to get accountability against CPS as well as individuals and affiliates who are involved, essentially seeking my end goal is reunifications for families, protections for parents, laws changed. I want investigations and I want accountability for those who have been committing false removals. Those are my main priorities with the case going forward.
Gee, and I don't get too personal, but I know you said I had a daughter, and I assume she's okay now. She's all right.
Yeah, she's home. She's been home for a little bit over a year now.
And how are you doing personally with this? How are you holding up with all this? How do you do it? How do you do it?
That's the question, isn't it? The way I do it is just thinking about, you know, I made it out, but there are God knows how many who haven't made it out, and I have to keep fighting for them, because if I don't fight for them, then nobody's going to know about them, and then nobody else is going to be there to fight for them. So that's what keeps me going, is knowing that those children are still going through this and trying to be their voice.
Wow. Bless your heart. And folks, understand again, CPS, over half the children are trafficked. This is a money-making racket beyond words. Hey, listen, folks, if we'll murder babies in the womb and call it legal, why would we not abuse them outside the womb and make more money off of them? Why not use them like a piece of a material of some kind? Use them until they're used up and then get rid of them. Now, we're not going to get a lot in the details tonight with some of the things you saw while you're in there, but you were part of some of the – you were exposed to some of the lowest scum in the world and what they did to children, weren't you?
And unfortunately, what they do is they also put us in situations where we have to do some terrible things as well, and those are some of the worst things to have to relive.
I don't know how to even ask you more questions about this, because I don't want to take you in places where you're not comfortable with you.
If there is, I'll say so, I promise.
It breaks my heart. And I can't believe the phones are quiet because people are listening. They'll call tomorrow and say, hey, we didn't want to interrupt you. But if folks have any questions, comments, you feel free to call. So without having to go in too much graphic detail, what were some of the things that you were forced to do?
The most difficult thing that I had to do and that I have to relive is they would put us in fight circles where they would draw a line on the ground and tell us that only one of us would be allowed to leave it alive. And the first one I was put in, or the first one I remember being put in, was with a friend who I saw as my sister. She was like my sister at the time. And we refused to fight each other. We were brats, and we threw waste at the people who were watching and stuff like that just to be obnoxious. But the next time I had to fight one of the big bullies in the area, and I didn't want to fight him, but he told me that he was antagonizing me, telling me that he was going to hurt my friends after he finished with me. And I ended up with a long, sharp, it was kind of like a spear, it was kind of like a trident, and I swung, and I ended up getting him across the stomach, and I ended up having to end the situation quickly, but there's more than one instance where those types of things happened.
This was all being watched and or videoed?
I don't remember it being videoed, but it was being watched. There were the first one, there were bleachers that people were sitting on. It looked like a school gymnasium. The second was also a school gymnasium, but it was more in the corner. It wasn't really, you know, quote unquote center stage. And there were bleachers there, but they weren't as packed as the first one. But yeah, people were watching, and they were taking bets and stuff too.
Taking bets.
Yeah.
It's almost like the arenas in Rome, and you know, cheap whiz. So, I don't know how to even ask these questions. It's really hard to even put them in words enough that I want to do it in a way that makes it understandable, but yet it's so graphic I don't even want to ask. So you mentioned also that they forced children to eat other children.
Yes. There was a situation where myself and probably it was a little over a dozen children were locked in essentially a basement for we were told after the fact that it was 2 weeks, but you know, they're the most honest and reliable people. And we were chained up to poles, and we were in there for an extremely long time, and there were some children who, right out of the gate, they died of panic attacks. And we eventually realized that nobody was going to be coming downstairs, so we ended up having to resort to eating the dead to survive.
So, and this was being watched also?
I don't know if that one was being watched. I think part of the trauma with that one was that we weren't being watched. If I remember correctly, we specifically we looked for cameras, and I remember not seeing cameras. And I think that was part of the trauma, was making us feel like they locked us in the room and forgot about us forever type of situation, and seeing what we were going to do and how we were going to respond to that.
And what was your... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
From what I understand, that was a common test from what I understood at the time, that was a test they put on all of us to see our survivability skills, to see, you know, if we were willing to do what we needed to survive.
So this was kind of a basic training scenario for what they planned for you.
From what I understood at the time, yes.
My goodness. The folks, know, I want to ask you to do something now that and nobody's calling, which is fine. I know you listen, and I know this isn't pleasant to talk about, but this is what's happening in the real world, and bury your head in the sand won't make it go away. It makes you a coward. That's what it does. To not withstand against this makes you a craving coward, and the fearful, the first ones are cast into hell. By the way, so you actually name some pretty high names on your video. You name names and people that you saw there. And
yeah.
How high up? Well, let's start on the lower echelon. Let's say with small-time politicians or whatever, and build your way up to senators and right up to the presidents or whatever. Give us some names that you saw there. Folks, pay attention to this. This woman has enough courage to give you a name. You got to listen.
Well, the blackmail situation that I had mentioned earlier, where I had witnessed the man get brought downstairs and his family was lined up, that situation that I witnessed, essentially, that was Bernie Sanders. That was Senator Bernie Sanders, who I witnessed get blackmailed on video. That was one person who I had seen. There was also...
They say blackmail. Do you mean he wasn't doing it voluntarily, or...
He was crying hysterically.
He was crying?
He was crying. He was not happy. He wanted nothing to do with it. To date, that is the hardest I've ever seen a grown man cry.
Wow. Okay. Okay, go ahead. You're doing great. Go ahead.
There were parties that I went to, and I want to be clear that just because I witnessed somebody, you know, in my travels as a child doesn't mean that they were an abuser. There were people that I witnessed in you know, straight passing who, you know, for example, I'd go to parties and, you know, I knew that if, for example, there were normal parties and then there were basement parties. And what I refer to as basement parties, which is where the bad stuff happened. And sometimes I would go to parties and Rudy Giuliani would be there. And I actually used to love it when Rudy was there because I knew that when the basement party happened later during the day, usually when there were basement parties, I could count on there being, you know, usually 4 to 6 people would end up dead. But I knew that if Rudy was in a good mood, that the other people who were attending the basement parties would also be in a good mood and that there would be less people dying. So I very much enjoyed seeing Rudy at the parties.
Oh, my. So if, in other words, he had some sway over these people.
I don't know. Well, it's not that he had sway over them. It was that he was so happy and brought so much humor and so much comedy and put everybody in such a good mood that they were a lot less vicious to us.
But he was still at the party.
He was at the upstairs parties, not the basement parties, from what I can remember. He was at the normal parties.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just to clarify, just to make sure, he was not at the basement parties. At least I don't remember him being at the basement parties.
Okay.
There was, and this was growing up in New York, I also briefly, I don't remember exactly how long, but I remember her briefly crossing paths with the Clintons. That family. I remember that there was a time period where I was going around and calling them the Clit-tons, and that was not seen very nicely.
Were they upstairs party or downstairs party?
Downstairs party. They were nasty. Well, Hillary was nasty. I don't remember much in the way of interaction with Bill. Most of what I remember with him is very, very passing. But Hillary was a nasty, nasty woman. She was very violent.
Uh-huh. And I have no doubt that's true. You go ahead. You're doing a wonderful job. You go ahead and share what's on your mind, sweetheart.
But I also want to mention in regards to the blackmail situations, there was what I called, or what I call blackmail season, which from what I remember, there was about two times a year where they would refresh the blackmail on people. And they would refresh the blackmail on people roughly every year or so. So what they would do in some cases, and I've seen this happen, where people will just be, you know, walking on the street, you know, hanging out with friends or whatever, and the van will drive up, grab them, and bring them to, you know, a place where they're going to, you know, refresh the blackmail and all that kind of stuff. But I've also seen the other...
These are celebrities, perhaps?
These are, I would say, either up-and-coming or low-level.
Okay, all right.
Okay. For the ones who usually get the getting dragged off the street in the van treatment. There are what I call the generationals, which can also probably be considered for the high-level people. For the high-level people and the generationals, what they would do is they would bring us into what looks like, it looks like a hotel room, but it's not a hotel room. Like, it's an unspoken thing. I know there's cameras all over the room. They know there's cameras all over the room. You know, it's you know, we know what we're there for. And there were times where, there were times where people would violate us. But there were also times where they would literally just sit on the bed or the chair and just talk to us. Every once in a while, somebody would sit on the floor and just talk to us. But those were people that were, you know, their families and their system was so deep in it that they didn't feel the need to have to drag them off the street and have to require them to do it. So the generationals who, you know, weren't fond of the child abuse aspect, you know, kind of made it a point not to hurt us when we were in that type of situation.
Well, did any of those people that come to parties ever try to help you in any way? Or they, I mean, did anybody ever try to help you escape? I mean, anything going in your direction?
I don't remember anybody explicitly helping me try to escape, but I do have flashes and memories of people who I feel fond of saying things and doing things that goes against my program, goes against, you know, the programming that I have as a child, the abuse programming. That goes against the programming, and they're doing it intentionally. I can tell that they're doing it intentionally, and they're doing it to break through the programming and to make it and to help me remember. But that is all that I really remember actively being done as a child.
Well, now, so you went through a series, I guess you say, brainwashing, mind decompartmentalizing, or. Well, I think it's called Project Mile Arc or this type. Did you go through that type of mind control?
Yes, I don't know exactly what programs I was in. I used to when I was a child, but I did go through something similar to MK Ultra or Project Monarch whatever the new variation that they have of it now.
And. Well, this was done by professional psychiatrists, or who did this?
It was a mix of people. From what I remember, my primary handler was the man who arranged my adoption. However, I was brought all over the place. It was, you know, a mix of family members and my father primarily. My father was. He's a lovely man. That man, he arranged the adoptions of children from Haiti, and he has since left the country. He now lives in Ecuador. But yeah, my dad and the man who arranged my adoption were my primary handlers from what I can remember at this point.
Oh, wow. And if people want to know more about what you're doing, we're about out of time. How can they learn more about you and what you're trying to do?
Sure. I can be found on x.com/CTSurvivor17, CT as in Child Trafficking Survivor 17. I'm also on Substack at, I believe it's jennifer.guskin@substack.com. Those are the best places that you can find me.
Jen, I don't know what else to ask or say tonight. I mean, we got a lot more to talk about. We're about out of time. And all I can say is I admire your courage very much. I can't even imagine how you went through that and survived it. Just by the grace of God, you're still here. And I know that that's the only strength you have. We have to turn to Him in all things sometimes because we can't do it on our own. So what can we do to help? What can I do to help?
I mean, the biggest help that I need right now is I need help with my lawsuit against CPS. The main goal is to help other families, and I need assistance with that. So if there's anybody who is willing and able to take on, you know, CPS, the dragon of CPS, you know, I need that help most specifically.
Okay, and they can contact you on the site you just mentioned.
X, or I can also be reached at jennifer.guskin@proton.me, M-E.
And what, one more time, run that by him again.
jennifer.guskin@proton.me, M-E.
Okay, and that's G-U-S-K-I-N, folks, Guskin. Jennifer, yeah. I appreciate you with this night, and I sincerely mean that. And do you mind if we talk again sometime?
Of course. I'd very much appreciate that. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. And if you need me, you know where I am. Let me know what I can do to help, okay?
Great. Thank you. And I hope to talk to you soon.
All right. God bless you, sweetheart. My goodness. Thank you. Folks, I don't want to, I can add to that. Nothing to add to it, that's for sure. I know the phone lines are very quiet, and I know this is a very shocking and somewhat depressing program for sure. But burying your head in the sand doesn't make it go away. And then I stand up against it, as I say, it makes you a coward. So are we so selfish that we're not going to at least try to expose it? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? The Bible tells in Ephesians to expose evil and rebuke it. We're supposed to hide from it, pretend like it doesn't happen. Surely we're not that selfish people. God, I pray not. I really do. Well, folks, about out of time, but I'll be in the office tomorrow, Lord willing, between 9 and 4. Myself, I hope it's by coming to help me answer your phone, but if I don't, I'll do my best. You bear with me. If I don't get to you on the phone, leave a message, I'll call you back. I am here, and I want to do what I can to help. So I truly mean it. Love you all my heart in Christ. Have a great night. Good night.
Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.